Good morning and welcome to the California Coastal Commission meeting for Friday, October 9th. And can we have the clerk please call the roll?
Commissioner Ashajian.
Here.
Commissioner Blank.
Here.
Commissioner Clark.
Oh, present.
Commissioner Lieberman.
Here.
Commissioner Mercurimi.
Present.
Commissioner Sanchez.
Here.
Commissioner Schellenberger.
Here.
Commissioner Stone.
Here.
Commissioner Juan.
She's here.
She's here. Uh-huh. Chair Neely.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. And let's go to the staff to go over the changes in the agenda and go over the ground rules for the meeting.
Good morning, Chair Neely, commissioners, members of the public. And for those in the audience, if you'd like to address the commission today, we ask that you fill out a speaker slip. They can be found on the table outside the hearing room. And please put your name and item number on the speaker slip, bring it to the staff table, and Chair Neely will call your name prior to the item being heard. Also, please, we ask that all cell phones and BlackBerries are off while in the hearing room. They do interfere with our webcasting. And now I'd like to turn to the changes on today's agenda. On page 16, item 5B, the City of Del Mar LCP Amendment 1-09 for parking modifications is postponed. On page 17, item 5C, this is the City of San Diego LCP Amendment 3-08B for Point Loma Townhomes. The city has requested a postponement, and staff concurs with that. This postponement needs to be granted by the commission.
Okay. Thank you.
And item 6B is appeal A6COR0898 for the Hotel Del Partners. This item, as well as item 6C for another appeal for the Hotel Del Partners, are postponed. On page 18, item 6F, the Westbridge Financial Appeal is postponed. And item 7A, 507-133 Lee, is postponed. And that concludes the changes for today.
All right, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes,
I have
Director
a couple
Douglas.
Of comments. One is relative to item 5C, which the city has asked for postponement, and we agree to the postponement. Our practice has been that when the staff report goes out on an item like this, and the applicant requests a postponement, and we agree that a postponement is warranted, but because the report is out, we bring it to the commission for your concurrence in the postponement. We've been thinking about that in terms of what that means for people who aren't sure whether it's going to be granted to come here, and we've rarely seen a situation where you don't grant that postponement. So what we'd like to do is get your concurrence that in the future, when we have situations like this where the applicant asks for a postponement, we agree that it's warranted, that we can do that and stamp it on here before it comes to the meeting so people don't have to come here just in case it's...
Yeah, I think that's an excellent suggestion. Commissioner okay. Blank?
Madam Chair, I'd like to suggest a modification. I think that's the responsibility of the commissioners, not the staff, and with all due respect to the executive director, I'd like to just... and I understand the reason, and I'd like to make it happen as well. I would like just to modify your suggestion with the concurrence of the current chairman of the commission.
No problem. That's fine.
Okay. That sounds fine.
And if not, then if there's no concurrence, then the entire body of the commissioners get to be the arbiters, not
okay.
the staff.
That's fine.
Okay.
No problem.
Yeah, I think the idea is to address the noticing for the public so they don't travel somewhere not knowing. But I think your suggestion's fine if the commission concurs. I see concurrence, so thank you.
Since we never have a problem getting hold of our chair, that's not a problem.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to mention to you is relative to the Hotel Del Coronado. We do have a situation where our geologist, Dr. Mark Johnson, for personal health reasons, is not with us at the time being, and he'll be out indefinitely. So we are without a geologist at this point. And he also was multi-skilled and talented, or is, in terms of hydrology and engineering and other aspects of the technical work that's done. So what we've done is we've entering into a agreement with the State Department of the Geological Survey, and they do have geologists on staff, and they're willing to do this. What it entails is that when we ask for their review, the applicant will be asked to pay for it, but it'll be done by the state agency. And that's one of the issues we have here relative to the geology question about earthquake faulting and setbacks. And as a result of this situation, this matter is postponed and probably won't come back until early next year. We have had requests from various entities or interested parties that this be brought back in the San Diego area. That would be in February. We don't have a problem with that. The January meeting is in Long Beach, and I know that they have really been urging us to, it's actually in Southern California, it could be Orange County. They've been urging us to bring this back as soon as possible, and I think it makes sense to try to bring it to the area where most people are interested. But on the other hand, if we finish our analysis and can bring it back in January, I think the practice of this commission has been to do that in order to avoid unnecessary hardships for the applicant. In this case, there are a number of reasons why we are where we are, and one of them is the applicant not being very responsive to some of our concerns. So I'm looking at February down here in San Diego for this to come back.
And Madam Chair, I would hope that it would be in February locally, since this is a San Diego County issue, so that it would afford the public a better ability to come to the meeting.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Clark?
Yeah, I agree with my colleague on the left, Commissioner Sanchez. I think it should be February.
Okay. Seems like the commissioners are happy with it being in February.
Good.
Then.
And then if we could just, because we're still in this old procedure, get your concurrence on the continuance of item 5C, City of San Diego, that would be good.
Okay. Could we get a motion then on item 5C for a continuance? Moved by Commissioner Schallenberger,
seconded
by Commissioner Mercurimi. All those in favor, or could I just get a, is there a consensus yes on this one?
Yes.
Okay, the item is continued then. Thank you.
And Madam Chair, we did trail the statewide items, and I don't know whether you want to take those up now or at the end of the agenda. I suggest we do it now, get it
okay,
out of the way.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
Because you tend to flee quickly at
right.
the end. So we do have a set of minutes to approve, actually two sets of minutes.
Okay, could I get a motion on the minutes, please?
Move approval of the minutes.
Moved and seconded, we approve the minutes. Any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the minutes are approved.
Then are there any commissioners' reports?
Any commission reports? Commissioner Stone?
I would just like to say that this was my first meeting with a three-day meeting with a large packet, and I would just like to say how much I appreciate the quality and the consistency of the staff reports. Made it what looked like originally a very daunting task much easier. It was very easy to find what I needed, get a hold of reference materials, and even the different offices approach it in a similar enough manner that it was very easy to get through and find what I needed. So I think staff has done a great job with these reports, and as thick and as big as the packet is, it's actually not as hard to get through, I think, because of the quality of what we're dealing with. So I just wanted to say thank you.
All right,
thank you. It's taken us 37 years to get to this point.
And I would like to add my comments to that. I was after Eureka, and I saw how much it was, thought, oh, my gosh, 3 days of that. So you just made it so much easier to get through. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
The staff that's watching appreciates your comments. Conservancy report?
Yes, I have no report from the Conservancy. There's a meeting scheduled for the end of this month.
Okay. Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy.
Yes, there was a Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy Board meeting. The only things of interest to the commission had to do with the fact that the findings were coming up on the Malibu LCP. And I explained to everybody it was just findings and not a chance to rehear the issue.
Okay, thank you. Deputy Attorney General's report.
Good morning. We filed an amicus brief in the U.S. Supreme Court. Good morning. Our office filed an amicus brief in the U.S. Supreme Court case of Stop the Beach Nourishment versus Florida in support of the state of Florida. The Florida Supreme Court upheld a state statute that fixes the boundary between public and private property before the parties undertake beach nourishment. The court rejected the property owner's claim that the state took their property right to gradual accretions and the right to direct contact with the ocean. Our brief argues there was no judicial taking and requests the court to reverse the state of Florida as it would violate federalism.
All right, thank you. Any questions for the Deputy Attorney General? Okay. Did you have anything? Yeah.
A couple of points. I just wanted to tell the commission about a wonderful event that occurred on the 17th of last month. It was the 25th anniversary of the Coastal Commission's beach cleanup, coast cleanup. It was held at the Aquarium by the Bay in San Francisco. You all got notices of that. It was an incredible event. We were really stressed because we had so many people at the last minute who wanted to be there. We had to turn away over 100 people.
Yeah.
And 100 people who have spent a lot of energy supporting the coast and coastal conservation. So it was a hard thing to do, but the place just couldn't handle more. And the reason was that when it was first announced, the heroes had not been announced. This was also an opportunity for Sunset Magazine, working with our staff, to our public education staff, to honor coastal heroes. And when those names were announced, including some Hollywood celebrities, the interest in people coming to the event just spiked. And on top of that, it was the day that the Ocean Protection Council met in San Francisco and the President's Council, or Task Force, on Ocean Conservation, Ocean and Coast, who had their hearing in San Francisco in the afternoon of that day. And they wanted to be there that night, which was great, because Dr. Jane Lubchenco, who's the head of NOAA, and an old friend of the Coastal Commission, actually, over the years, she was at Oregon State, was there and attended the event, and it was great to have her there to see all the people who support what the Coastal Commission does and their volunteer efforts. And she was very impressed, which is great because we need her support and help, which we'll get in any event. This was just kind of an add-on. And then I was really appreciative that our chair was able to be there. Several of you were there, Commissioner Mercurini and Commissioner Stone. I think if I missed another one, sorry, but it was a good turnout, and I really appreciate our participation and the great job our staff did. I mean, it's made us all so proud to see the great talent that we have, especially in Evan Schwartz, who's just put in an incredible amount of work, and who gave a talk that brought tears to people's eyes. It was really inspiring. And then the next day, of course, then we had the beach cleanup that Saturday, and it was the most successful of all. We don't have the statistics yet, but we expect well over 70,000 volunteers to have participated. And it's the largest volunteer participatory event like this in the world, really, and it's an annual event. We have had some comments from people in terms of the impact of the event itself. So we're looking at ways to reduce that footprint. We've also gotten some criticism about some of the sponsors that we have. This commission adopted some guidelines relative to sponsorship, and we are going to apply those now in light of some of the input we got from people about the sponsorships on the beach cleanup. So with that, specifically relating to the Chemical Council that helps sponsor and help us with the bags, but also opposes ocean debris legislation and other legislation that is designed to protect the ocean and coast. So we're doing a whole reevaluation of that right now. The whale tail plate selection, I think you all had an opportunity to weigh in on that. It was an interesting poll. We are still analyzing results and hope to report to you next month about the image that came out on top. But it was a good exercise, fun. And I think we'll all be pleased with the outcome. I can't tell you yet when we're going to convert to the new plate because there are, once one's selected, there's a lag time in terms of getting it, getting the prints and the templates and all that to state corrections because they're made in the state prison system. Just to remind you to get your travel expense claims in on time, especially the new commissioners. I know it's probably too much money for you, but get those in on time so that we can keep track of our budget. It's one of those issues that we have a hard time with because we are so tight on our budget that we need to know what our expenditures are. So it's just a reminder to get those in on time. Have a ledge report that's in your packet or was handed out. If you have any questions on that, I'd be happy to try to respond. If not, Susan is going to be here next month to talk about, or at the meeting, to talk about the current budget, and we'll give you an update where we are then.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I just wanted to also mention with regard to Sunset Magazine and the Coastal Heroes Award Ceremony that our executive director, Peter Douglas, was honored for his years of commitment and his great work to protect the coast. And so I think we can all take pride in that award as well.
The it was just a total surprise. I had no clue that was coming. And the chair and Susan Hansch got up and said, you know, this is one of those unannounced awards, and about blew me out of my chair. It was really wonderful. I'm very honored. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Well deserved. Yes.
Obviously, kudos to Peter for that. But also, I understand that Senator Alan Lowenthal was recognized, too.
Yes,
that was well-deserved.
Absolutely. And I don't have the list. Peter, do you remember all the recipients of the award?
No, I don't.
Pierce Brosnan and his wife. Senator Alan Lowenthal.
Mm-hmm.
Julia Dreyfus.
Griggs at Santa Cruz. Julie Packard.
Packard. Yeah.
Julia Dreyfus.
I don't remember all the others, but I do know that they were all deserving. And Senator Lowenthal was actually our nominee. So it was delightful to see him there.
Google Earth. Okay. So then let's go back to the regular agenda. And first we have public comment. We have three speakers who will be given 3 minutes each. Catherine Rhodes is first, followed by Deidre Price and Claudia Sanchez.
Hello, Catherine Rhodes of San Diego, Point Loma. I just want to mention that I'm talking about the Navy Broadway complex, and if we could put the first little slide up. This is a Coronado fault that in blue that actually goes through the, through the Coronado Hotel parking lot and through the Coronado Tunnel, and you could actually get really good information from the city of Coronado because they've got binders about this big on their fault investigation. So they've got everything from Caltech and from Berkeley and from Caltrans. So anyway, here's the blue Coronado fault. In red is where we thought the fault trends. But the Port of San Diego, of course, won't release an actual report. So they turned it into a park, which is great because they used to have a building there. Onto the side, there's a little blue arrow up there. That's where the old police headquarters is. They did find the act of fault. In the city of San Diego, they've never turned in any fault investigations to the state geologists for incorporation into the Alquist-Priolo maps. That's why we could never get any of the Alquist-Priolo maps approved. And if we could go to the next slide, please. And then right here, this is where I actually think the fault goes through, right there and right there. And then on that little area in blue, what I'm trying to get people to know is that area you can probably build on after you do your fault buffer distances. And what I'm trying to get people to do is put a state of California building, a Port of San Diego building, and a City of San Diego building so we could keep that area public instead. That little dot there on the top, that is a, the City of San Diego just got sued regarding sewer smells in a condo complex. And that's where I actually think the fault heads straight up that way. And the main reason that we want to know exactly where the fault is because it crosses a lot of utilities, and the utilities keep on breaking all the time in San Diego, and we just want to make sure that they build in deformation. And so if we could go to the next slide, please. This is where, this is my solution to the problem, is the Nickelodeon Hotel was going to be built over there at NTC. I'm saying turn that into a parking lot. And then the anti-submarine warfare base, that was, they moved it to Corpus Christi, Texas, then they moved it back here to San Diego, which is great. But what I'm saying is they could actually put the Navy Broadway complex there, and if they don't have any room, they could maybe take a little bit of Port Tidelands, but then, you know, it has to go through everybody. So I'm working with Bob Filner on that. And a great thing is that the port finally said that they're going to, or they gave me a verbal, that they're going to confirm or deny the Coronado Fault in the North Embarcadero area. We'll see if it happens or not. But great news, they're going to do an EIR. They sent everything out. And, you know, a part of this is the FBI is looking into this also because the City of San Diego has been hiding seismic information for quite a while now. You know, for the last 3 years, they have the information. They're just not having it come in. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Deidre Price.
Hello, Honorable Commissioners. My name is Deirdre Price. I live in Coronado, California, and I'm speaking on behalf of Felicia Bell and Lou Barnum, who are from Concerned Citizens for Keeping the Hotel Del Beautiful. And we wanted to thank you for changing the meeting to February 2010 in San Diego County, because there are many Coronado citizens who are very concerned about this project and would love to be able to attend the meeting. So we appreciate your responsiveness to that.
All right, thank you very much. Claudia Sanchez.
Good morning. My name is Claudia Sanchez. I work at Hotel del Coronado, and I want to say thank you for changing the date of the hearing and being in San Diego, because we are going to be able to attend. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you for being here today. That brings us, I think, Commissioner Juan had a comment.
I know, but I just got emailed all the coastal heroes, so I was going to...
Oh, okay,
because you had asked me to announce about Serge Dedina.
Okay. I just, Jeff just emailed me the names, knowing my memory is challenged. But as you indicated, Pierce and Keely Brosnan were honored. Serge Dedina, he's with Wild Coast down here.
Yeah.
Any of you from this area know Serge? We certainly do.
He's from
Dr. Gary Griggs from Santa Cruz for his work. John Hankey, who's with Google Earth.
Google Earth.
Very interesting concept. He was told by Dr. Sylvia Earle that he does Google Earth and all he shows is dirt. He doesn't show most of the Earth, which is ocean. And so he came up with the
Google Ocean
website, which is a terrific resource. And then Senator Lowenthal, as we already mentioned, Julie Packard from the Monterey Bay Aquarium and the Research Institute for her work in education about coastal and ocean issues. Julia Louise Dreyfus for her work in environmental conservation, stewardship. and Linda Sheehan, head of the California Coastkeeper Alliance. Those were the coastal heroes honored by Sunset Magazine and the commission.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Schellenberger?
Yeah, I just want to point out this is a wonderful example that sometimes we're not aware of, and that is that we thank staff for doing really wonderful jobs, and our executive director and the deputy directors and Vanessa. But you know, there's a whole bunch of staff that we don't see that are paying attention to what we do here. And I'm just grinning because I can see Jeff on it, like, you know, white on rice, and Peter's got it on his computer. So I just want, I know we all, this is a wonderful example of that, and that those who are watching, that we really do appreciate all the staff behind the scenes that are not in front of us, but nonetheless make our commission meetings and actions go as smoothly as they do. So I thank them.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Wan?
No.
Nothing else? Okay, all right. Then we'll go to the regular agenda. San Diego District?
Yes, and I'd like to just comment that I do appreciate when we're in Southern California, because as you'll see and you saw yesterday, we're able to have staff here that are actually involved in the projects and presenting the projects to you, and that certainly helps. It makes my job a lot easier and gives you a much better awareness of all the facts, I believe. This is, the next item is item three, and this is the deputy director's report for the San Diego District. This is the list of waivers and non-material amendments and extensions and emergency permits for the San Diego District. Today I am reporting four waivers and two non-material amendments. We haven't received any adverse comments on the amendments, and staff recommends the commission concur with the executive director and approve the deputy director's report.
All right, thank you. Is there any objection to concurrence with the executive director? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
And item 3A is the City of Oceanside LCP Amendment 1-08 Telecommunications Facilities Certification Review. This is the completion of the LCP certification process for the City of Oceanside LCP Amendment 1-08, which includes changes to the certified LCP implementation plan that will allow installation of telecommunication facilities in the downtown area of Oceanside. This LCP amendment is related to item 6A on today's agenda, which is an appeal of the city's decision to allow installation of such a facility prior to this LCP amendment becoming effectively certified. The commission approved the LCP amendment with suggested modifications that incorporated all of the necessary provisions into the LCP to allow installation of these facilities in the downtown district. By its action on September 9, 2009, the Oceanside City Council adopted a resolution accepting all the suggested modifications as approved by the commission. And pursuant to our regulations, we must the executive director must determine whether the city's action is legally adequate and report that to the commission. Staff has determined the city's action is legally adequate and in conformance with the commission's action. Therefore, staff recommends the commission concur with the executive director and effectively certify the City of Oceanside LCP Amendment 1-08.
And we have two speaker slips on this item. We have Shan Babcock, I believe it is, from the City of Oceanside, and Pamela Myers. What? Let me check to see if there are any ex partes before we take testimony. Anyone on my left and on the right? Okay, seeing none, then we'll come back to the speaker.
Shan Babcock, City of Oceanside, not Babcock, Babcock, B-A-B-I-C-K. Okay. I just wanted to say here that we concur with your staff's report. So we concur with the Coastal Commission staff on this item.
All right. Thank you, sir. Pamela Myers.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Pamela Myers, and I'm the original appellant of this cell facility at 999 North Pacific Street on top of North Coast Village. Can I please have the... first slide.
Could, excuse me just a minute. I'm thinking that maybe you want to testify on 6A, but let me go with staff. Maybe you could you just explain what the action is right at this time?
This is the effective certification of the LCP amendment. The actual appeal is up as item 6A today.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I kind of thought that this would be related, but I mean...
This is a formality to confirm or to effectively certify the LCP amendment.
Okay. So
we do have you down to speak on the item later this morning.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Okay, so giving that regarding this LCP. I was at the last meeting up north, and I was told by coastal staff and City of Oceanside staff that this would not affect my appeal, which I think it could possibly. So given this document here, on the back on page 12, it talks about the downtown district establishes special land use sub-districts with individual objectives. The proposed local coastal plan amendment includes modifications to three separate articles within the City of Oceanside certified implementation plan. The specific plan, the specific modifications for each article are discussed below. It says item B, major provisions of the ordinance, and item C, adequacy.
Ma'am, but this item is the executive director has already made a determination, and it's we're just concurring with that. So it's not like this is going to be a big hearing item. But the item later in the morning is a hearing item.
Okay. I just think that, I'm sorry.
Go ahead and finish.
I'm not an expert here, but okay. I'm trying. I just think that this is not adequate because there's information missing. And so.
Commissioner Wan?
Let me try to explain. With an LCP amendment, the commission already approved the amendment. The time to discuss that was at the original LCP hearing. This, at this point, is just the ministerial part of the balance of our process of certifying what we already approved. So anything connected to the LCP amendment that was approved is not in front of us anymore. We can't discuss it. It's already been approved. It's over.
So the appropriate time would have been at the last meeting. Okay.
Maybe we could have staff visit with Ms. Myers and in terms of
okay
process, if so, that would help you a little bit with the education and the process.
So I guess you'll hear my appeal later?
Yes. Okay. It's coming up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Any objection to concurrence with the executive director's determination? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
And the next item, Deborah Lee and Tony Ross will handle for you.
Good morning, commissioners. This brings us to item 5A, which is the City of Carlsbad's LCP amendment number 1-09B for the Legoland Hotel. Tony Ross, the planner for this item, will be presenting it.
Good morning, commissioners. The City of Carlsbad is proposing a series of modifications to the Carlsbad Ranch specific plan, which is a certified component of their implementation plan. The Carlsbad Ranch area is comprised of approximately 425 acres, located on the north side of Palomar Airport Road. The Carlsbad Ranch specific plan was originally approved by the commission in 1993. I'd like to direct the commissioners also to the addendum for any modifications to the staff report that you received yesterday. Part of the proposed revisions by the city would be a general update, first changing the required parking for gym facilities within the entire Carlsbad Ranch area from one space for every 35 square feet of a building to one space for every 200. This standard was previously reviewed and approved by the commission within the city's IP, and this revision would simply update the specific plan to mirror the city's already certified IP provisions. The second revision would be to update a street name referenced in the document from Highland Ranch Road to the Crossing Strive. Neither of these would result in any consistencies with the city's certified LUP. The second component and the major focus of the proposed amendment is a project-driven. Legoland would like the opportunity to construct a 250-room standard operation hotel within Legoland Park. The hotel would be constructed on a portion of the existing Legoland visitor parking area, and as such, the project would result in a decrease in the number of available parking spaces. However, the city has submitted a parking study indicating that even after the hotel development, Legoland's parking stock will exceed what's necessary for peak season attendance. Because the project is within an already developed area and Legoland is located more than a mile inland of the coast, there is no potential for coastal resource or view impacts. Staff is first recommending denial of the implementation plan and then approval with four suggested modifications. As submitted by the city, the proposal would change the text and graphics of the specific plan inconsistent with figures 35, 37, and 38 for Legoland Park. Further, the proposed amendment does not protect any future hotel use from conversion to limited use overnight accommodations, such as timeshare or condominium hotel fractional ownership units, which would raise affordability and public availability issues that have not been addressed by this amendment. Additionally, while the modifications allow for a reduction in required parking, they do not provide a method to monitor the adequacy of the amendment parking standard should the number of patrons increase in the future. Lastly, while the current certified specific plan includes several measures to support alternative transit, there are additional refinements needed for Legoland as a large employer and a major visitor destination. Given the park's close proximity to both Poinsettia and Carlsbad Village transit stations, a program should be established by Legoland facilitating the use of alternative transit by its park guests, hotel guests, and employees. Because the amendment does not include language to address these concerns, staff's four suggested modifications would first require the city to update the applicable Legoland figures, second, prohibit the conversion of the hotel to any limited use overnight accommodation without a separate and additional LCP amendment. Third, requires Legoland to submit an annual report monitoring parking to both the city and the commission. And it lastly requires an alternative transit program that incorporates public transit and Legoland shuttles to provide service from the two adjacent transit stations on a regular basis. This suggested modification would also include incentives for employee use of transit, carpooling, and alternative transit in that the project would subsidize employees' public transit fares, would allow preferred parking for carpooling, and would include the construction of employee showers to encourage employees to bike to work. Only with these suggested modifications can the proposed amendment be found consistent with the city's certified LUP. The city and Legoland have agreed to staff's suggested modifications, and that concludes my comments.
Just to wrap up, the appropriate resolutions are on pages 4 and 5 of your staff report. And I just want to express Tony and my appreciation to the city, Bill Hoffman, and the Legoland representatives. They were very helpful in providing us information throughout this. And also want to let you know that they did express last week when we were talking to them about whether or not they were in agreement. They did raise the question about potentially incorporating some limited use overnight accommodations. We expressed to them that staff would not be able to accept that at all because we had not really investigated that element during the review of this project. And also just to remind the commission that the city of Carlsbad is looking at a comprehensive update to their commercial tourist areas. So we do think it would be appropriate that if Legoland really does want to consider the inclusion of some limited use accommodations in the future, that it should be folded in with that more comprehensive review that the city. But in the end, they indicated that they were in agreement with the recommendation before you today. So again, our thanks to them and the city, and those resolutions are on pages 4 and 5. Thank you.
All right, thank you, staff. Let me first check with the commissioners to see if there are any ex parte communications. Seeing none, let me bring it back. We have two speaker slips filled out, Bill Hoffman and from Hoffman Planning, and Gary Barbario from the City of Carlsbad, who's here just for answering questions. Did you want to put any comments on the record?
I'm Bill Hoffman, and just a very, very brief presentation. I'm with Hoffman Planning and Engineering, 3152 Lionshead Avenue in Carlsbad. And today I am representing Legoland, and that was a terrific staff report. We agree with the modifications. With me tonight are several of the Legoland people here. Philip Baker of Merlin Entertainment, who is the parent company of Legoland. Peter Ronchetti, who's the general manager of Legoland, and also Brian Shaw, who is the finance director of Legoland. And they're all here available to answer any questions. And I would like to lastly thank your staff, and it's really good that it's in San Diego and you can see actually the people that have worked on these projects. Tony and Deborah did just a terrific job. They were responsive. They helped us throughout the process, and we really, really appreciate it. So I wanted to thank them. But I'm here to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll call you up if commissioners have questions. Let me take it back to staff. Any additional comments from you? All right. Then let me take it to Commissioner Wan.
I move that the commission reject the implementation plan amendment for the City of Carlsbad number 1-09B as submitted and recommend a yes vote.
I have a motion by Commissioner Wan and a second by Commissioner Schallenberger. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in rejection of the implementation program and adoption of the resolution and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion, Commissioner Schallenberger? No? Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby denies certification of the implementation program amendment submitted by the City of Carlsbad. Commissioner Wan?
I move that the commission certify the implementation program amendment for the City of Carlsbad amendment number 1-09B if it is modified as suggested in the staff report and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Wan and a second by Commissioner Schallenberger. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in certification of the implementation program amendment. Would you like to speak to this motion? Commissioner Schallenberger?
Yes, I just want to thank staff very much for this. I think it moves us in the right direction. And, you know, I'm also often asking for less emphasis on parking and more emphasis on public transit and on getting people to and from work and to and from facilities on bikes and that kind of thing. And I think they've done a great job, and I appreciate it. And I hope we see more of that, because we just shouldn't be using our valuable coastal land to blacktop and park cars on. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Any other comments from commissioners? We have a motion and a second. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby certifies the implementation program amendment for the City of Carlsbad. Thank you so much for being here today, and thank you for working so well with our staff. Appreciate it. All right.
Okay, thank you, Deborah. And the next item is item 6A, A6OCN0718. And this is the decision of the City of Oceanside to grant a coastal development permit to Sprint PCS for a telecommunication facility within the North Coast Village in Oceanside. Staff is recommending the commission find no substantial issue is raised by the city's actions. So there will be a hearing on the substantial issue question, and Tony Ross of our San Diego staff will present this item.
All right, thank you.
And we do have a PowerPoint if that could be brought up, please. I'll begin speaking in the interim. The subject appeal is for the placement of a telecommunication facility on an existing residential building located at 999 North Pacific Street and was approved by the City of Oceanside on January 17, 2007. The subject site consists of 26 residential buildings for a total of 550 units known as the North Coast Village, constructed on a 14-acre site prior to the Coastal Act. The beachfronting site is located immediately south of the San Luis Rey River and the harbor, and the property is zoned D Downtown, Subdistrict 5. Also, please refer again to the addendum given to you yesterday for any modifications to the staff report. The proposed telecommunication facility is a repeater site and consists of two sectors with one antenna per sector. One antenna is a flat panel, and it will be located on the roof of the residential building and will be painted to match the existing building. The other antenna will be flush-mounted and on the building's parapet. The auxiliary equipment will be mounted inside an existing utility room, and the flat panel antenna will be the only visible portion of the cellular facility, and it required a variation by the city because the antenna exceeds the maximum height within this area, which is 27 feet. The height of the existing building is just over 40 feet, and the proposed antenna will project 2.5 feet higher than this for about 43 feet. The primary concern associated with the original approval of this project was that, as approved by the city at that time, it was inconsistent with their actual land use plan in that these weren't a permitted use within this subdistrict. Further concerns associated with the approval of the permit was that while this individual cellular facility may not significantly impact public coastal views, it's the cumulative impacts, along with any additional facilities that may be installed in the future, could impact public views. And the last concern was that the project may also be considered inconsistent with the city's land use plan, given that there is a certified height restriction of 27 feet, and that does include any appurtenances within this sub-district. Since the appeal was filed in 2007, the city has come forward with an LCP amendment, number 1-08A, in response to the concern that the telecommunication facilities were not at permitted use within this sub-district. The amendment proposed telecommunication facilities as a permitted use and included standards of approval and design guidelines that were incorporated to reduce any potential to coastal resource or view impacts. Again, the Coastal Commission approved this LCP amendment at the June 2009 hearing, and you concurred with the executive director's determination with the director's deputy director's report just earlier today. Therefore, telecommunication facilities are now considered a conditionally permitted use within the downtown area, and that portion can now be considered consistent with the certified LCP. As such, the issues regarding height limits and cumulative view impacts are the only remaining concerns to be addressed by this report. And again, staff is recommending the commission find no substantial issue associated with these remaining concerns. The first concern raised by the appellant is the issue of visual impacts. The approved development includes the placement of a small equipment room, a transmission antenna, and two host antennas, all of which have the potential to result in impacts to coastal views. Again, as previously discussed, the equipment room will be located inside an existing structure. The transmission antenna will be located inside the existing parapet wall, and these components raise no concerns regarding impacts to coastal views. One of the antennas is a flat panel and will be located on the roof of the residential building, and the other antenna is the flush mounted on the existing parapet. Thus, that flat panel is the only antenna with the potential for impacting coastal views. Again, this antenna will be located in the center of the 40-foot tall building, will be 1 foot in diameter, and will be 2.5 feet taller than the existing height. Because of its location, it will not be visible from any of the surrounding areas, and thus does not result in any impacts to coastal views. I'd like to show you the slides now. How do I get this to go next? Can you just go to the next slide, please? So here's the location of the condo complex, and the red arrow indicates the actual building where the antenna will be located. This is an example of a further example of where exactly the antenna would be located. That's the center portion, and it's also showing you two other areas that actually are visible on the roof. Again, the antenna won't be visible. And lastly, that's the subject view. And this is actually, just to clarify for the commissioners, this is actually a view from a rooftop on a different adjacent condo. It's not a public view. It's not from the street. It's just giving you an idea of where on the roof it's located and why it won't be visible. The height is such that there are no views from public streets, sidewalks, etc., that would be impacted by the antenna. And I also want to add that the city does require a conditional use permit for these types of developments that require the city to find a series of findings to approve the conditional use permit. Specifically, the CUP requires the permittee to exercise a good faith effort to cooperate with any other communication providers and services in the operation of a co-user facility. Therefore, any additional co-user facilities that will have to consider and eliminate any already existing antennas as an option for locating their co-user facility prior to proposing additional antennas or alternative locations. Further, the project and any subsequent project would again be required to obtain a variation for the height of the development. And in granting variations, the city is again required to make further findings in order to approve such a proposal. Thus, if any other applicants propose additional antennas at this location, potential view impacts, both individual and cumulative, will be addressed at that time and will be based on the site-specific issues raised with that specific development. The final concern is that the project cannot be found consistent with the city's LCP in that the particular development standard was approved by the city of Oceanside and subsequently the commission as an LCP amendment in 2006, limiting the height of development within this portion, this specific portion of the city, to 2 stories and 27 feet in elevation. This development standard further prohibits any of the typical exceptions to height limits, including objects such as towers, spires, chimneys, elevator penthouses, and radio and television antennas. Again, the existing building is 3 stories and has a height of 40 feet. It was constructed prior to the Coastal Act, but the proposed antenna would be 2.5 feet taller for a total of 43 feet in an area that is restricted to 27 feet. As such, staff does agree with the appellant that the project could be interpreted as inconsistent with the certified LCP policy restricting height to 27 feet. However, while the approved height is a greater elevation than that is what is permitted, the primary intent of this height restriction in this area was to minimize public impacts to coastal views. By locating the antenna at the center of the existing structure and eliminating any potential view impacts, the project does not result in any impacts such that the project should be raised to a level of significance required to find substantial issue for any concern on which the appeal has been filed. Again, there are a series of findings that the commission and commission staff need to make as far as level of significance and in looking at the fact that there are no potential view impacts. The inconsistency can't be raised to the level of significance and therefore staff is recommending that the commission find no substantial issue exists with the respect on which the grounds the appeal has been filed. The motion resolutions can be found on page 4 of the staff report, and that concludes my comments.
Thank you, staff. Let me check with the commissioners to see if there are any ex partes.
Well,
no? Commissioner Sanchez?
Prior to being appointed as a commissioner, obviously this is a City of Oceanside item, and I actually voted on the height restriction, and that was the policy that was described to maintain the height and not allow for anything above. So that's from, when it came to the council a couple years ago.
Okay.
Right. And I've had nothing since then.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none, then we'll come to the public hearing. Pamela Myers? How much time would you like, Ms. Myers?
Considering this has been going on for 3 years almost, I would appreciate it if I could have 10 minutes.
You know, the rules are 3, but I'll give
you
10.
I'll do my best.
Go ahead. Give you 10.
Okay. Up in the right hand, up at the top, you can see the highlighted yellow area where the proposed one of the antennas is, and you can see it next to the red one. Where's the F building? Where's the, excuse me, hold on. Can you hold the time, please? Where's the F?
Are you looking for the pointer or?
How to do my PowerPoint.
This. It doesn't work on the screen, so. This is going forward for your PowerPoint. What do you need to know?
I need to bring my PowerPoint up.
Oh, what's
And so this doesn't work?
Yeah.
This doesn't go, right? Okay. Okay, so you'll be the one to put the slides? Okay, thank you. Okay, so this is the proposed sites where the antennas are to be located next. Next. This is the site where the cables are going to be run. Next. At the top there, that's where the one of the antennas is going to be mounted inside that wall there. Next. You can see in the far right, you can't see it from here, but the antenna will be visible from the strand. I don't know what happened here. It needs to be moved over. Next. This is what Marina Towers looks like, and we certainly don't want this to be on the side of West North, on the west side of North Pacific Street. Next. See our building in the background? That's a geoscenic vantage point deck. Next. This is one of the sites that they tried to put in their analysis, which is south of Oceanside Pier. I don't know why they chose this site. It's not even near where they want to be, but that's one of the alternative sites they looked at. Next. They did not look at this alternative site, which is the other building on North Coast Village, which does not have the height restriction. Next. It has a clear line of view from Marina Towers, so the line of sight will not be interrupted. And again, it's not above our height issue. Next. They did not look at Wyndham Timeshare Resorts. Next. Interesting, Sprint put their cell facility during July 4th holiday for about a week right there in front of the pier next to the timeshares. Next. You can see it right there in their antenna up. They obviously thought that this was a good site to capture people's money over the 4th of July weekend. Next. It was interesting that they had this notice. It's hard to see, but this notice on their cell facility that you should stay at least 8 feet away from the antennas. Next. There's Marina Towers in the background in North Coast Village and the interest of site where they want their cell facility along their coverage along the beach. Next. This is an update up close site of the area that they want to cover on the beach. Next. A thorough and comprehensive alternative site evaluation was not done. They only looked at three sites. One was south of the pier. They looked at our building, and one was a right-of-way. Non-residential buildings were not investigated, like the community center on the Strand or other buildings near the harbor. North Coast Village, other building, and the Wyndham Time Resorts were not investigated. In the Velocitil report, which was sent to Sprint by Lynn Atkin, under site selection, she states, due to the topography and building height in this area, the alternative sites for this search ring were the other building on the same property, thus admitting there is a feasible alternative site. There are no blackout areas in the coastal area. Reception is good, as reported in Sprint's website. Next. This is our sub-district between Surf Right-of-Way and Breakwaterway. We had a zone amendment and a local coastal plan, which limited the height issue to two stories or 27 feet, whichever is less, and the exceptions of Section 301.18 did not apply for mechanical apertures. That means no antennas, no nothing above this 27 feet. The RAC and the City Council unanimously approved this local coastal opponent amendment 5-0. Their spirit of intent was to protect our special community by preserving our ocean views, home values, and Oceanside's coastal aesthetics. This cell facility antenna exceeds our height restriction by greater than 16 feet and will be visible from the surrounding areas, Aegea and the Strand. This will impact our coastal visual resources. Next. It is not compatible with our surrounding land uses. It is not compatible in height or form with our surrounding neighborhood. The current council barely approved this project by a 3-2 vote. Nays were Mayor Wood and Sanchez. It should have never been approved. It will degrade Oceanside's coastal aesthetics. It will have a cumulative impact when other cell facilities and other antennas are placed on North Coast Village's roof or on the roofs of other single-family homes on the west side. It will set a precedential value of local government's decision for future interpretations of its local coastal plan. Thus, other projects or infill projects will want to go above our height limit. Next, it will have a harmful effect on our neighborhood character, as under the new LCPA, Local Coastal Plan Amendment, they will be able to go 10 feet above the height of a building or a co-user facility. Thus, it could go up to 53 feet high. 5 pole antennas per 1,000 square feet of roof area plus one monitoring antenna, total of 6 antennas will be allowed. This site is not suitable for this type of use or development. It has the potential to impact the welfare of the public. The reception antennas does not meet the 10-foot minimum setback for the rear property line criteria under the new local coastal plan amendment, which is the telecommunications one. Once you open the door, you will not be able to close it. Please find that there is a substantial issue. Next, this is our neighborhood. I'm asking you to please protect our community aesthetics environment, and I'm going to try to put up one more slide. See if there's a better visual. Okay, that's it, I guess. I think there's issues here that really need to be considered. The council really wanted to protect our area there. That's why they voted for our height limit. And in that height limit was attached the section 3018, no additional to height antennas and so forth. So, it's up to you.
All right. Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Deborah Gardner.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Deborah DePratty Gardner. I represent Sprint Nextel.
How much time would you like?
I'm actually don't need much. 3 minutes is fine.
Three.
Was here primarily just to address any questions you might have. I wanted to support staff's recommendation and their report, and I don't have too much to say in response to the appellant other than she just mentioned something about the setback, and we're located in the middle of a very large 14-acre parcel and hundreds of feet away from the setback, so I'm not sure what she was referring to there, so you might want to ask her what she was thinking on that one. This is by nature a very small facility. It's a repeater facility. If you didn't know what these facilities are used for, it's basically for magnifying an existing signal from sites in the vicinity. A typical cell site would have 8 to 12 antennas. This has 2 and a very small equipment cabinet. I was not part of the original site selection. I apologize. I don't have a lot of good information to tell you why they located here. And just wanted to reiterate, this is a very small antenna, 2.5 feet, 1 foot wide, and we do have, I didn't see on the plans it being specified to be painted a specific color, but if we will entertain, you know, any suggestions you might have to further integrate the antenna. And
all right.
I'm here for questions.
Very good. Thank you. We'll close the public hearing and take it back to staff.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Regarding any review of these kinds of facilities, we do want to be careful in the types of facilities that we approve and where we approve them. They're always difficult for staff's analysis, and in this particular case, this is between the ocean and the First Coastal Roadway, and so that adds a degree of significance to the site. Many of the telecommunications facilities that we see are much larger than this one. We think that we have looked at the individual impacts associated with this facility and don't feel that they raise to the level of statewide significance for you to find substantial issue on this appeal. The technical inconsistency that remains with the LCP is because there was a rather site-specific LCP amendment process for this two-block area that reduced the height limit to 27 feet and then also included a specific clause that did not allow variations for these types of impertinences. That's only applies to this two-block area. Of course, we did not find that that raised any conflicts with the Coastal Act. It was totally consistent with the Coastal Act and its the way it was proposed. It was not necessarily required to find consistency with the Coastal Act. And if that LCP amendment hadn't been approved or if the variation that applies elsewhere in the city were applicable to this two-block area, there would not be that technical inconsistency. These types of facilities would be allowed, and then the standard that applies is whether or not there is an impact to scenic quality and coastal resources. So we looked at that and feel that taking into consideration all the things the commission reviews on appeal, that this one does not raise to the level of significance to find substantial issue.
And I might just add, this is also an example of where we look at workload relative to our ability to process many of these issues, and that we really do make some harder decisions in terms of whether or not something is of statewide concern. Okay. Under the Coastal Act to this commission.
All right, thank you. Bring it back to the commission. Commissioner Sanchez?
Thank you. Well, first of all, it is difficult in that there were policies that we reviewed as a council, and it may seem on the surface that perhaps there was a change of priorities between the two decisions. We have already this morning concurred with the executive director's determination regarding the LCP amendment that pretty much allows this to go forward. And so the comments that were presented by Ms. Myers probably were more would have been more effective and appropriate at the time that the LCP amendment was before the commission. It's unfortunate that it was not presented to the commission for the commission to consider those kind of arguments, because I thought I continue to feel that those considerations are valid. But this is a different situation at this point. What is being presented to the commission is basically conformance with an LCP amendment, and the standard is of review is different. So I am not able to find a reason for finding substantial issue.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Mercurimi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In my short time that I've been on the commission, I believe that it's not always clear to the citizenry when they're supposed to come and speak to the LCP amendment. And I think whether it applies to Ms. Myers today or a gentleman that came here yesterday speaking on another matter, I don't think it's always that clear when public and advocates who really try to inform themselves on how to follow our process. And if you look at our documentation, you really have to be pretty learned, I think, in how to determine when to insert yourself. So I'm only thinking that if, in fact, that there are sort of valid recognitions that there's some legitimacy to one's concerns, but that time has passed, that makes me uneasy sometimes when I hear this. And as it relates to, I think, this particular issue, I just have some questions that I'm trying to understand, because in our own local experiences, these things have come up. So through the chair to the staff, would Sprint or another utility have to return back to the city or the commission if in the same location they wanted to put up additional antennas, but that did not exceed the height? And if they kept under the height, would each time, based on their conditional use, have to come back to seek multiple antennas?
any antenna, regardless of whether or not it complies with the height limit, would require a coastal development permit to be issued by the city, and then that decision would be appealable to the commission.
And I noticed that in the diagrams, there was actually nothing sort of overlaid to show us what the antenna would look like. There was locations, but no actual antenna. And I was wondering if there is such a diagram that could depict what that antenna does look like.
We don't have one at the hearing. I'm not sure if Sprint PCS might be able to share something with you. Mm-hmm. Looks like she might have something that can project.
Okay, and then the...
That arrow is pointing.
Could we get your name for the record, ma'am?
Sorry, Deborah DiPrati Gardner. I represent Sprint Nextel, and it's with it zoomed in this high, it's real hard to see, but essentially the panel antenna, the dimensions are 2.5 feet tall, or excuse me, 4 feet tall and 1 foot wide, and that one is flush mounted on the facade, and then the other one, it's pointing to the one on the roof, and it in plan view, as you saw, it is 2.5 feet taller than the top point of the roof, but from a vantage point, you would not be able to see much of the antenna from any distance.
So it's not like the depiction of the Marina Towers picture where we saw there was multiple, and I'm not saying that there were multiple, but you had sort of, you know, downsized dishes and antennas that were, but it was a bundled sort of environment.
All that's proposed here are two single panel antennas that are 4 foot tall, 1 foot wide.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Commissioner Mercurimi?
No, thank you.
All right.
Commissioner.
Excuse me.
Yes?
Madam Chair, I just want to point out, Commissioner Mercurimi, that in this case, our staff spent a lot of time with the appellant actually helping her focus in on the issues that she needed to address. And I was kind of surprised that we took that time, but I'm glad we did, to help her with the process. And she did appear and speak at the LCP amendment stage.
It's very good the staff did that. I mean, definitely lessons learned for everybody.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Juan?
Yes. I was sort of wanting to ask questions similar to what Commissioner Mercurimi was asking, and it's sort of the question of bundling. Isn't there a federal law that says once you locate one of these stations there, then you are actually required to allow the additional antennas? In other words, it has to be co-location. You have to allow co-location.
Sir, the public hearing is closed, sir. Could you have a seat?
If I
public
have a question of you, I will ask it. I'm right now asking my staff a question.
Okay.
You may be referring to our ability to actually deny these facilities?
Yes, and therefore wind up with the situation that Commissioner Mercurimi is talking about of having to approve additional antennas there. This gentleman said this is a repeater station. There's therefore only two antennas. But once you've allowed one there, my understanding, or we've always been told, that therefore you have to allow co-location. You have to allow other antennas. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Are you aware of that? If not, I will ask.
Well, it does ring a bell.
Right.
Because I recall that we did have other cases where we were told that.
That's right. We've been told that in the past.
Yeah.
So how does this have an effect on our ability to deal with the cumulative impacts in the future? And then I see our attorney wanting to speak. Go ahead.
Sorry, and I don't have the provisions of the Telecommunications Act with me at the moment, of the Federal Telecommunications Act, but I know that there is some disagreement between some of the telecommunications applicants and our position about when they need to come to us and what our discretion is. So I'm not sure about the exact case that you're proposing right at this moment. But as you might may recall from, I believe it was our April meeting, I believe the applicant at that meeting was asserting that the commission did not have the ability to deny their permit, and that was not the way we saw our...
No, but I'm not quite saying that.
Okay.
Because that was different from this. That was...
It was different, yes.
It was different. It was a question of the location of a particular antenna. I'm saying that in the past, and I don't remember the exact wording, we've been told that once you do locate, allow the location of one, you can't prohibit, because it has to do with competition, well, others from locating there.
There is one that I specifically recall dealt with Trinidad Head.
Right.
And the argument was made by the applicant, and I don't know whether it was Verizon, because there were already existing antenna there, that they had a right to add theirs. We took a different position and asserted that position, and they dropped their project. So okay. It never went to court. It was never tested.
But I just, the reason I bring this up as a follow-up from what you're saying is that there's the concern that once you do this, it's not just a single two-foot extension, but could it cumulatively lead to a whole series of these.
You might want to hear from the city representative because I think they've...
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now it's appropriate.
Now it's appropriate. Shan Babbitt again, City of Oceanside Economic and Community Development Department. No, if you were to add some antennas, you would have to amend the conditional use permit to allow for that. In addition, you'll be amending the regular coastal permit, so that would be brought back before this committee if it was in the appealable area. So whenever you change a use permit to add or an intensify use permit, you have to go back. It's an amendment, it's not a new one. It's an amendment to the conditional use permit. So it would be brought back before, in this case, the city council, and if it was in the coastal zone, then it could be potentially appealed to the coastal commission.
I understand all of that. My concern was federal law that could preempt all of our ability to say no.
It does. To the best of my knowledge, I'm not aware of any federal law that allows you to preempt and place as many of those facilities as you choose.
Yeah.
Telecommunications preempts.
So Section 704 preempts on health and safety.
Why don't you get on
the mic? Mr. Blank.
Section 704 of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which is I think what the elected officials and the commission are referring to, takes out of the local officials' hands any claims for safety and health, but does not take out from local, at least my understanding, not a lawyer and I defer to counsel, does not take out from local control the authorities we have on visual and sighting and coastal permits, but obviously that's never been tested in federal court. But I think I just want to differentiate the health and safety claims, which the appellant was not making here, and I think rightly so. Those are not grounds for appeal. And I
understand that, and I'm trying to just slightly differentiate, probably because the issue was once raised, and that is, yes, you have the right. We have the right to deal with it on visual impacts and location, but at least one applicant, and maybe more, has come into this commission and asserted that while you may have that right to deal with location based on impacts and coastal resources, once you have sited one antenna, you can't deny other companies the right to site theirs at the same location. I don't know if they're correct, and Mr. Douglas is saying that in the case of Trinidad, it didn't go to court. So I was just raising that as a question because applicants on at least several occasions have raised that issue to us.
Applicants always raise lots of issues to us.
Right.
But I think this one really is a, I want to, if I can, to staff through the chair, just separate This specific applicant's claim and this item before us, a specific question to council, it's something we should know. And if you could just maybe come back to us at a future meeting, just asking the question that Commissioner Douglas, Executive Director Douglas raised, is, and Commissioner Juan is raising, it would be nice to know what is the law in this area.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Commissioner Schellenberger.
I move that the commission determine that appeal number A-6-0CN-07-018 raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under Section 30603 of the Coastal Act, and ask for a yes vote.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Schellenberger. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Ashajian. The maker and seconder recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in the finding of no substantial issue. Would you like to speak to the motion?
Briefly, I share Commissioner Mercurini's discomfort with telling an applicant or any member from the public that they're too late to come before us. But on the other hand, we really do need to stick with our own rules, and that is that the standard of review here is the LCP. The LCP now includes, this is, I believe, consistent with the LCP as it was recently amended. And so I think we have, I think the record is clear that given that standard, there is no substantial issue here.
Okay. Commissioner Ashajian, would you like to comment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, consistency is what's in front of us, and protecting the public view from what I see that's been presented here, there is no evidence that that is the case. But I look forward to understanding in the future as what are the federal laws and how do we deal with it.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Sanchez?
Thank you. I'm actually going to reverse what my comments, because some of the things that were brought out during the discussion suggest that this commission does retain some level of jurisdiction to review a future, for example, sightings. And there were some, as a council member, I am aware in discussing these issues about cell towers, that there have been several cases that have been decided. And the city has basically set up as a review is may not be able to bring this back to the commission. And having said that, especially in light of council's inability to describe make us feel better about the decision. In other words, that there in fact is a legal process for bringing these forward, then I would find substantial issue, because it is not clear to me that there are the protections that the LCP amendment purports to give. So I think my comments earlier were really based on, well, if this was a different kind of hearing, if this was on the LCP amendment, I would have a lot to say and say, you know, this is not consistent with the Coastal Act. I was addressing the legal standards for the commission on this appeal. I do feel at this point, having heard some of the issues raised, that there is a substantial issue. Thank you.
Commissioner Mercurini? Anything further from you? No? All right.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Excuse me. I received some clarification on the telecommunications point while we've been speaking. So while we don't have, as Commissioner Blank pointed out, we don't have a definitive statement because we haven't litigated this in federal court. But it is not... it is not correct that we would have to automatically approve any future facility at the same location. We would be somewhat limited in our grounds of reviewing it, And those are prescribed by the Telecommunications Act. However, the commission would have discretion and would have standards by which it can look at future facilities that are proposed for the same location.
Right. And if I could just add that some of the reasons for disallowing, say, a site is basic foundational. Have they done the appropriate studies? And once that's done, once the foundation is done, there's very little that can be done after there are sightings. That's my understanding. So if the commission wishes to retain some level of jurisdiction, some level of review, then there has to be a hard look at whether or not those foundations have been made in order to be able to retain that level of review.
Commissioner Shahjian?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Very quickly, the only federal law that I'm aware of that has come in front of us making decisions locally is that we cannot take health and safety, since there are no facts of its impact to the public, we cannot take that into consideration as we make our decisions future.
Yes. All right. I think we may need a roll call vote on this. Can we get the clerk to call the roll?
Yes.
Commissioner Shahjian?
Yes.
Shahjian, yes. Commissioner Blank?
Yes.
Blank, yes. Commissioner Clark?
Abstain.
Clark abstains. Commissioner Lieberman? Yes. Lieberman, yes. Commissioner Mercurimi?
Yes.
Mercurimi, yes. Commissioner Sanchez? No. Sanchez, no. Commissioner Schellenberger? Yes. Schellenberger, yes. Commissioner Stone?
Yes.
Stone, yes. Commissioner Juan?
Yes.
Juan, yes. Chair Neely?
Yes.
Neely, yes. The vote is 8-1 with one abstention.
Thank you very much. Okay, so the commission finds that appeal number A60CN07-018 does not present a substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under section 30603 of the Coastal Act. Okay. Is the commission available to do you need a break, or can we go ahead and finish up? Are we okay? All right, let's carry on then.
Okay, the next item is 6D, A6ENC092, and it's related to item 6E, A6ENC093. And staff would like to combine the presentation on these items. These are new appeals of a decision of the City of Encinitas that apply to two blufftop parcels that would include demolition of the existing 12-unit structure that spans both lots and construction of a single-family home on each of the separate blufftop lots. And the questions are related to the City's application of the LCP policies regarding the siting of the residence. If I could just confirm that there's no commissioners that want to have a separate hearing on the substantial issue question, then staff would go ahead and proceed with a recommendation, a combined presentation on both of the items.
Let me just ask then, with regard to item 6D, first of all, do three or more commissioners wish to have, or let's see, object to the finding of substantial issue? Okay, seeing none on 6D. And then on item 6E, do three or more commissioners wish to object with regard to the finding of substantial issue? Seeing none, we can go ahead then and have the joint staff presentation.
Okay, then Gary Cannon of our San Diego office will present these items to you.
Thank you.
Oops, sorry. Thank you. Staff is recommending approval of the proposed homes with special conditions. The homes will be sited on a 98-foot high coastal blufftop that is subject to erosion. The City of Encinitas requires new blufftop development be sited so that it will not require shoreline protection over its lifetime. Section 3034020D of the certified LCP requires the applicant to provide a detailed geotechnical report covering all potential geologic threats to the development, including groundwater, marine erosion, landslide, and slope stability, etc. The LCP also specifically requires the applicant to document the most current erosion rates and perform a slope stability analysis demonstrating a factor of safety against sliding of 1.5 for a period of 75 years. In this case, the applicant demonstrated a 1.5 factor of safety for current conditions as being located at 56 feet from the bluff edge on Lot 1 and 46 feet inland of the bluff for Lot 2. The Commission's geologist has determined the current state-of-the-art estimates for erosion at this site would be on the order of 0.49 feet per year, which equates to 37 feet of erosion over 75 years. In order to calculate a safe location for new development pursuant to the LCP, the Commission typically requires the 37 feet of erosion be added to the distance of the current factor of safety locations, and that an additional 10 feet be added to account for uncertainties in the estimates and for unexpected occurrences such as increased sea level rise. In this case, a setback of 103 feet would be required for the home on Lot 1, and 93 feet setback would be required for the home on Lot 2. However, since the lots are only 50 feet wide and between 122 and 134 feet in length from the bluff edge, and they would also be required to have the standard front and side yard setbacks, the applicant would be left with very limited area to build a reasonably sized home on each of the lots. The Commission's Technical Services Division has determined that the 1.5 factor of safety can be engineered such that the setback can be reduced consistent with the requirements of the LCP. Therefore, staff is recommending that each home be sited back beyond the point of the 75 years of erosion, which is 37 feet, that a 10-foot buffer be applied on top of that, and that the homes be constructed utilizing a piered foundation system that will assure the 1.5 factor of safety throughout the life of the structure. The resulting setback for each of the proposed homes with a drilled pier foundation would be 47 feet inland of the bluff edge. The Commission's Technical Services Division has also determined the drilled piers can be installed in a safe manner and their construction will not destabilize the bluff. In addition to revised plans documenting a 47-foot setback using piered foundation, staff is recommending the projects be conditioned, among other things, to require the applicant to agree to never construct shoreline protection for the homes, place the bluff face into an open space deed-restricted area, which prohibits development, maintain the pier foundations in their approved state for the life of the project, and use only native plants in any landscaping. And even though this is the combined presentation, the Commission will need to take a separate vote on each project. The motion resolution for A6ENC0902 can be found on page 8, and the motion for and resolution for A6ENC0903 can be found also on page 8 of that report. This concludes my comments.
And I would just like to add, in the addendum, we did add the open space deed restriction on the bluff face, and that the purpose of that open space deed restriction is to reduce the unnatural causes of bluff erosion and recognize that the bluff is a natural landform and the scenic and visual value of the natural landform. That, along with the condition requiring no future shoreline protective devices, we feel requires the applicant to acknowledge that there are limits to their ability to protect the home, and they have to accept the risk and the responsibility for that. And the deed restriction notifies future property owners so that they are also aware. And that we think this is a particularly important precedent. I hope you saw the slide that was up, because in this section of the shoreline is without shoreline protection. So it is important, particularly in this area of Encinitas. That concludes my comments.
All right, thank you, staff. Let me check with the commissioners. Are there any ex partes to announce? Seeing none, then we have three speakers on this, on these two items, and we can take testimony with regard to each one or both together. Can we take testimony for item D and E at the same time? Okay, the first speaker is David Saccone. Carlos Wellman is here to answer questions, and then Mark Hendricks. So how much time would you like?
Just a minute.
Okay, let's give him three.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is David Saccone, and I live at 720 4th Street, which is the property immediately south and adjacent to the said property that we're talking about today. And I'm here representing numerous people on my street in support of Mr. Wellman and his proposal to go ahead with this development.
All right. Thank you very much. Mark Hendrick.
Thank you, Commission. My name is Mark Hendrick. I live at 736 4th Street, which is three properties south of the subject property. Like David said, I think that we're all the neighbors that I've talked to, and I've been pretty active, are very much in favor of something moving forward. I think that our primary focus, though, is to demolish what is an abandoned structure that's causing crime for the area. The police are called frequently. There's drugs, drug use, vandalism. I had a patio chair that was stolen. I know a couple other neighbors had similar things that were stolen. There's been a fire, at least one, at that location. And one of the two, it's just in a 12-unit abandoned structure right now. And it's also somewhat hanging over the edge, I believe, of the bluff. So, I mean, I think it's in everybody's best interest, the community, the bluff itself, the beach down below, that something be done to try to encourage the demolition of that structure that's on there. If I know there's two resolutions, I believe I was reading, before the commission. If the commission could see the wisdom of trying to include whichever resolution they support to actually encourage the applicant to go forward and demolish that structure. I know that there's a requirement on the second, I believe, resolution that he resubmit plans to accommodate the conditions that could be expected of him. And I don't know if there's a way to, again, allow for and encourage the demolition of that structure while these plans are being resubmitted or not. But it is a very dangerous building, and it is causing a lot of concern for the neighborhood.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Bring it back to staff for any additional comments.
Just on that point, we have not segmented the permit. We don't typically do that to allow demolition to occur. Certainly, if the local government ordered this be abated, that would not require a coastal development permit to remove it.
Okay, thank you. Bring it back to the commission. And with regard to item 6D, the motion is on page 8.
Madam Chair, I move that the commission approve coastal development permit number A6ENC09-2 pursuant to the staff recommendation. Recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Shaji and a second by Commissioner Mercurimi. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the permit as conditioned and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion?
No, ma'am.
Commissioner Mercurimi? Okay. Any objection? Oh, we have one commissioner with comments. Commissioner Schallenberger.
Just a clarification for me from staff. The project description is the demolition of the apartment building and a construction of a two-story, 4,521-square-foot single-family residence. In the staff report, you said verbally that the staff did not... with the normal setback, staff felt that they couldn't have a reasonably sized home. And I'm curious what staff's idea of a reasonably sized home is. It's actually a very serious question. We continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger houses on the coast. And I have a feeling, for some of us, this garage is a reasonably sized home. So. When you referred to that, what did you mean? They couldn't, right, what that, size home could they not put on their property?
That's a legitimate question. In this particular case, the lots are 120 feet deep. And when you add both the erosion rate and the factor of safety and the 10-foot buffer, it would make it 93, I think Gary said, or 100 feet. That would be what the required setback would be. So the remaining distance for any structure would be that distance between 93 and 120. So that's just a 20-foot area to construct a home. When you take into consideration setbacks, that it's more the area that's remaining on the site that would be available to accommodate a home that we look at. We haven't necessarily determined what size of structure would be considered reasonable. If I could just, again, the The problem here is the amount of area that was remaining, if that setback would be applied, would only be 20 feet deep.
But with the special conditions that you're proposing, is there room for a 4,521 square foot home?
No, this home would have to be reduced in size to be set back the 47 feet rather than the 40 feet that's proposed.
And you don't have a sense of what that square footage would be reduced to?
I do not.
Okay.
No, we don't.
But it will be reduced.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the permit as condition. Any other comments from commissioners? Do we have need for a roll call vote? Do you want a roll call? Okay. Any objection to unanimous vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby approves the coastal development permit for the proposed development. And then with regard to item 6E, the motion is on page...
Madam Chair, I move that the commission approve the coastal development permit number A6ENC09-3 pursuant to the staff recommendation and recommend a yes vote.
Do we have a second? We have a motion by Commissioner Shajian and a second by Commissioner Mercurimi. Maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the permit as condition and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to the motion?
No, ma'am.
Commissioner Mercurimi, no? Okay. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission hereby approves the coastal development permit for the proposed development. Commissioner Wan had a question.
Just a comment. I think that Commissioner Schallenberger's questions were well taken. I don't want to hold this up at this point, but I think in the future where you're dealing with, and we do periodically deal with similar issues, it wouldn't be that hard to figure out what the square footage of the footprint is, and everybody can take it from there as far as the square footage of a house. So it might not be a bad idea for us to be able to figure it out as to whether, you know, perhaps we would have, somebody would have preferred it to be set back even further, but you have no sense of the size of the house. So just for future reference, I didn't want to deal with that here, but I think it's a piece of information the commission could use in its deliberations.
I'm looking forward to the house size discussion on commission agenda.
Madam Chair, the standard should be Commissioner Blank's.
Right. Which Commissioner Wan voted for.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I just want to report that Charles Lester had a conversation with the mayor of Half Moon Bay, and the mayor assured him that they were not going to do anything without consulting with us and getting the appropriate permits. So I wanted to get back to you before we adjourn.
Thank you, Director Douglas. I appreciate common sense and communication being exercised on by all parties here. All
right. And I think that completes our agenda for the day, unless there's anything else from staff.
No, we'll see you in Long Beach.
All right. Thank you. The meeting's adjourned, and we'll see you in Long Beach.
Appreciate all the